Okay, today's daf is Bracha daf Lamed Vav. We're at the bottom of Lamed Hey Amud Bet at the two dots at Gufa. We're going to turn to a statement that we made earlier. Gufa Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Amar Bechen Amar Yitzchak Amar Yochanan Shemin Zayin Barachin Alav Bereit Eitz. What do you say? What's the bracha on olive oil? You make a Bereit Eitz. Hechi Dami. What is the case that you make this bracha Bereit Eitz on Shemin Zayit? Ilema Degashati Le Uzuki Mazik Le. If you just drink it straight, well, that's damaging. That doesn't actually constitute eating because that's terrible for you to do such a thing. Netanya Ashot Shemin Shaltruma Mishalim Tekeir and Menu Mishalim Techomesh. And that's why we taught that if you drink shemen that belongs to teruma, it belongs to the kohanim. So you pay the principal, you pay what you drink, but you don't pay the additional penalty for eating truma because it doesn't constitute eating. Hasach shemen shel teruma mishalem tekeren umishalem techomesh. But if you anoint it with oil of teruma, you have to pay the principal and you have to pay the additional penalty because that's its proper use. But drinking straight shemen is not its proper use. It doesn't constitute eating, so you don't have to pay the penalty. You also wouldn't make a bracha el deka achi le'alidei pat. So it must be that you ate it together with bread. But then you have pot, which is bread, is the primary food, and the shemen is the secondary food. If you have a primary food together with the secondary food, you make a bracha on the primary food, you don't make a bracha on the secondary food, right? If you're eating cereal, you don't make a bracha on the milk. Rather, you ate it together with anigron, dama rabba bar shmuel, anigron maya salka, and sigron maya de kulhu shalki. Right? So anigron is a dish of boiled beets in water that you add shemen to, and then and sigron is any vegetable boiled in water that you add shemen to. And so you ate the shemen together with anigron. Imkein, havalei anigron, ikar v'shemen tafel. Well, then you just have the same problem because the anigron, the beet water, is ikar, and the shemen is still tafel. V'tanan zeh klal kol sheikar yivimot tfelem varachale ikar bodele tfele. You should only make a bracha on the anigron. You shouldn't make a bracha on the shemen. Hachamai skin. No, what are we talking about? Bechoshesh begrono. Right? When you have a sore throat, etanya choshesh begrono lo yareno b'shemen tchila b'shabbat. Right? So lechachila, you're not supposed to just drink straight shemen on Shabbat if you have a sore throat. The shemen is very, very good for your throat, and so people would just swallow oil in order to heal their sore throat. But you can't do that on Shabbat. Why? Because the Rabbanon made forbidden all forms of refuah on Shabbat, meaning because there are some forms of refuah that you had to violate Isurei De'oraita for, like grinding up medicines, so they forbid all forms of refuah. But what are you allowed to do? You're allowed to just eat things normally that also has healing benefits to it. If you have a sore throat, you can drink tea. Oh, but it's healing your throat a little bit. Yeah, but it's normal to drink tea. But you can't just swallow shemen, even though that's a food, because it's clear that you're doing that for the refuah, because it's disgusting. You don't normally do that in general. So you can't just swallow mass amounts of shemen on Shabbat for the sake of your throat, because it's not a normal way of eating, and therefore it looks like you're doing it for refuah, and that's a problem. Aval, noten shemen harbe l'doch anigron bolea, right? But you're allowed to put a lot of shemen into a anigron and then drink it that way, and that way it heals your throat, but it looks like you're eating something. Pshita, really? That's what Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan wanted to teach us with this whole case of what's the case? Do you make a bracha on shemen? Isn't it obvious that you'd make a bracha there? Ma'od etema, no. What would you have said? You would have said, well, you're doing it for refuah, so maybe you shouldn't have a bracha, right? You don't make a bracha when you swallow Tylenol, so maybe you shouldn't make a bracha at all on this drink. So kamash malan, you do make a bracha. Right, so wheat flour. So Rav Yehuda says that it's brei priya adama. Right, comes from the ground. Wheat comes from the ground, and Rav Nachman says it's shalkoni yevedvaro. Amar le Rav Nachman lo tiflo galay the Rav Yehuda. The Rav Yochanan and Shmuel kamik avatei. Says, you know, Rav Nachman, you really shouldn't argue on Rav Yehuda because Rav Yochanan and Shmuel support Rav Yehuda shita. How do you know that Rav Yochanan and Shmuel support Rav Yehuda shita? Well, as they said, Rav Yehuda Omer Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, v'chein Amar Yitzchak, Amar Yochanan, Shemin Zayit, v'varchan lav, Bereit Eitz. Right, you say Bereit Eitz on Shemin Zayit. Alma afagav de ishtani b'miltakai. So even though it was changed from its original form of being an olive, still it keeps its bracha of borei prei eitz. Hachinami afagav de ishtani b'miltakai. So too here, even though it's changed from its original state of wheat, you still say borei prei adama, not a shahakol. Mi dami hatam leitle iluya achrina. Hachayika itle iluya achrina bepad. But how is that similar? Right there, by the shemen, there's no different stage that you're going to transform the shemen into. That is its final stage. That's how you're using it. In fact, that's probably why you planted the olive in the first place. Most olives are planted for shemen. More olives are planted to make oil than to eat the olive straight. However, the kemach of the chitim, right, the wheat flour, can have something made better out of it, meaning it's turned into flour as an intermediary stage. So it's no longer brei pri adama, because the intention of turning something into flour is to then turn that into bread. So they're not similar. Wait, but how do you know that just be, uh, uh, I'm just finish that line. How do you know that just because it has another purpose? Okay, so you can turn the flour into bread. Granted, but why does that mean you don't? Why does it mean that as long as it's flour, you shouldn't be making a hadama on it? So once it's bread, you make a bracha on bread. But why are you assuming that because it could be turned into bread, now I have to make a shahakol and not a hadama? Where are you getting that from? Right, a raw gourd and barley flour. You make a shahakol on those two things. My love, the chidi bor pri adama. Right, so doesn't that teach me that wheat flour must be a bor pri adama from the fact that you told me that barley flour is shahakol? So here I have a great rye that should be a bor pri adama and not shahakol. Lo the chidi nami shahakol and shahakol niyabidvaro. No, on wheat flour you also say shahakol niyabidvaro. Lishmeni the chidi v'kol shekein nisari. Well, then you should have taught me that a raw gourd and wheat flour you make a shahakol, and then I would have known that all the more so a barley flour you make a shahakol, since it's even worse of a food than wheat flour. Right, so if I would have told you that you should make a shahakol on a raw gourd and on wheat flour, you wouldn't have assumed kal v'chomer barley flour. You would have assumed that on barley flour you don't make a bracha at all. Really, you wouldn't? You would have assumed that you wouldn't make a bracha on barley flour at all. But is barley flour worse than salt and salt water? Right, it's non al melcha zamit omer shahakol niyabedvaro. Right, because I know that on salt and salt water we learned in a mishnah that you have to say shahakol, and I wouldn't have assumed that barley flour is worse than salt and salt water. So why would my havamina have been that I wouldn't make a bracha at all? It's like No, I would have thought that, yeah, even though I make a bracha on salt and salt water, that people put that in their mouths. People don't generally put straight barley flour in their mouth, especially because it's bad for the stomach. And therefore, I would have assumed that even if you make a bracha on salt and salt water, that's because it's normal to eat salt and salt water. It's not normal to eat straight barley flour. So I would have thought that you wouldn't make a bracha on it at all. So I learned from this, the fact that you taught me barley flour, now I know that because you get enough from it, you have to say a bracha. Kura, right? A heart of palm. Rav Yehuda omer bere pri adama. He says, bere pri adama shmuel amar shakol niyemet v'rosh Moses shakol. Rav Yehuda amar bere pri adama perehu. Rav Yehuda says, it's a fruit. You make a bere pri adama. Shmuel amar shakol niyemet v'ro. Hoyol v'sofo lahakshot. Yeah, it's a fruit now, but it's going to turn into part of the plant itself. So it's not really part of the plant. It's a shakol. It's not a adama. Amar le shmuel or Rav Yehuda shinana kavatecha mistabra. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, you know, you're very sharp. Your opinion is actually very logical. The half, because we saw that by tznon, by a radish, sofo lahakshot, that'll also become a hard part of the plant. And yet, if you eat it while it's still soft, you make a bere pri adama on it. Velohi, and even though that it seemed like Shmuel really liked Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that's actually not the correct shita, because radish is different than heart of palm. How so? It's known nate inchi adata de pugla, because when you plant a radish, you plan on eating it that way generally. That's why you're planting it. Dikla lo nate inchi adata de kura, right? But you don't plant a palm tree in order to eat the heart of palm. You plant a palm tree for the palm tree. Wait, but your assumption is that just because you didn't plant the tree with the intention of eating this part of the tree, that makes it, if you ate that part of the tree, you should say shahakol as opposed to adama? Where are you getting that from? A caper bush, that people plant for both the fruits and kind of like the shoots. Vitnan, and we taught in a Mishnah, or taught in a Braita, according to the Govitz Yunim, Almine Nitzba Alha Alin Vala Timura Omer Bre Pre Adama Valev Yonot Vala Kafrisin Omer Bre Pre Eitz. So seemingly, even though you don't plant it for those, you still make a Bre Pre Eitz as if you're eating a proper food. And on the leaves themselves, you make a Bre Pre Adama, right? Even though that's not what it's planted for. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Tzelev Natayin Shedat Deshuta. No, when you're planting a caper bush, you eat it having in mind that you want to have the shrubs as well, and not just the fruit. You know that you're going to eat the shrubs as well, and not just the fruit. Tikla lo nati inchi adata dekura. But for a palm tree, you don't plant for the sake of a heart of palm. What's the practical difference between them? Why is it that we assume by a caper bush you're planting them with the intention of eating the shoots as well, but by a palm tree we don't believe that you're planting it with the intention of eating the hearts of palm? Because when you eat the shoots of the caper bush, that doesn't inhibit the rest of the caper bush's growth. It doesn't actually affect the rest of the caper bush's growth. But when you eat the hearts of palm, that's less branches branches that the palm tree is going to have. And therefore, we don't assume that you're going to damage the overall growth of the tree in order to eat the hearts of palm. And that way, we assume that you're not planting it for that reason, and therefore, you wouldn't make a bracha, you wouldn't make a hadama on them. Even though Shmuel ended up praising Rabbi Yehuda's shita, the lacha is like Shmuel, because he's actually correct. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a rab. Salaf shel orla, b'chutz la'aret, zorek etavyonu, v'ochad ha'gafrizim. Okay. We're going to get into a difficult sugya talking about orla. Hey, orla in chutz la'aretz. Right? If you have a caper bush, and it is orla, so what do? You throw out the berries. I mean, you can't eat the berries because it's orla. It's in the first 3 years of the tree, and you're not allowed to eat from them. However, you can eat the casings around the berries, the kafrisin. You're allowed to eat them. Let me read Evyonot, peri, the kafrisin lo peri. Right? But is that to say that the Evyonot, the berries, are fruit, but the casing around the berries are not considered fruit? Or Aminu would have a contradictory statement, Almine nitzpa ala alim vala temurot, omer bere priya dama. I know, we just said earlier that on the leaves and on the shrubs, you make a bere priya dama, vala Evyonot vala kafrisin, omer bere priya etz. And on the berries and on the casings of the berries, you make a bere priya etz. So if I say a bere priya etz on the casing of the berry, on the kafrisin themselves, doesn't that mean that it's a food? Right? Doesn't that mean it should be asher to orla? Who damark Rabbi Akiva? No, that statement that we made earlier that the kafrisin, that you are allowed to eat the kafrisin during orla, is not in the same, is not in according to the same shita that says you make a bracha of bere priya etz on the kafrisin. Rather, the one who says that you're allowed to eat the kafrisin that are orla accords like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ditnan, Rabbi Lezer Omer, tzalaf mit aser temurot ve'evyon ve'kafrisin. So we learned that Rabbi Lezer holds that when it comes to a caper bush, you have to bring mice there. You have to tithe the shrubs and the berries and the casings around the berries. So Rabbi Lezer clearly holds that they're all chayav in mice there because they're all proper foods. Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein mitaser ela evyonot bilvad mipnei shehu pri. Right, Rabbi Akiva says, no, you only have to bring maaser on the evyonot, meaning you don't have to bring maaser, according to Rabbi Akiva, on the kafrisin, because he holds they're not food. And so when we said that kafrisin aren't food, and therefore you're allowed to eat them, even if they're shor orla, you throw out the berries and eat the kafrisin, so that's according to Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't believe the kafrisin are food. V'neima halachak Rabbi Akiva. Well, then Rav, who taught this teaching, really just should have said, oh, I hold like Rabbi Akiva, by the way, and we would have realized, oh, okay, so that's why he holds the way that he holds, and that's why he's allowed to eat the kafrisin and not eat the and throw out the berries. Why don't you just say the halachas like Rabbi Akiva? Iyamar halachas Rabbi Akiva havamina afilo ba'aretz kamash balan kol meke ba'aretz halachas kamoto b'chutz la'aretz aval ba'aretz lo. No, there's a problem. He couldn't say that he passes like Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva holds that kafrisin don't count as food at all. Meaning whether we're talking about Eretz Yisrael or Chutz La'aretz. And there's a special principle that we apply. If it's a mitzvah, it's one of the mitzvah that's Leot Ba'aretz. If it's a mitzvah that only applies in Eretz Yisrael, generally that means that on a Torah level, it's obligated in Eretz Yisrael, and on a Derabbanan level, it's obligated in Chutz La'aretz. So if you have a particularly Mekel Shita when it comes to one of the mitzvah that's Leot Ba'aretz, so we don't paskin like you in Eretz Yisrael, because we say Savak Derai to Lechumra. So no, we're not going to paskin like Rabbi Akiva in his Mekel Shita in mitzvah that's Leot Ba'aretz, Savak Derai to Lechumra. However, when it comes to Chutz La'aretz, where this mitzvah is derabanan, will hold by you. So if Rav would have said, yeah, sure, I heard like Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't believe the kafrisin are food, then what would you think? Ah, you hold like Rabbi Akiva, then even if we're talking about Orla in Eretz Yisrael, you must hold like Rabbi Akiva. But Rav's like, no, I don't hold like Rabbi Akiva in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva is the more Mekel Shita, so I only hold by him in Chutz La'aretz, because anyone who paskins Lekula on a mitzvah to La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, you don't follow him, but in Chutz La'aretz, you do follow him. So that's a problem. That's why he couldn't say that he holds like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, simple solution. Say, I hold like Rabbi Akiva, but only in Chutz La'aretz. Because I hold by the principle that anyone who's lenient on mitzvah to La'aretz, we don't paskin like him in Eretz Yisrael, we paskin like him in Chutz La'aretz. And then it'll be clear that you only hold like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz. De ba'aretz gufa midirabanan. Vagabi orla de ba'aretz midiraita imma b'chutz la'aretz nami nigzor kamash milan. No, there's a problem. I can't say that it just holds like Rabbi Akiva in chutz la'aretz. Why? Because if you paid close attention, Rabbi Akiva wasn't talking about orla. Rav is talking about orla. We compared the two, right? We said Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold that kafrisin constitute food, and Rav borrows that shita. But Rav was talking about orla, and Rabbi Akiva was talking about maaser, and you have a problem here. Why? Because maaser is itself derabanan. Why is maaser derabanan? Because the Torah says tirosh yitzar v'dagan. What do you have to bring maaser on? What do you need to tithe? Only that which you use to make bread, oil, and wine. Everything else, when it comes to maaser, is derabanan. So if we're talking about bringing foods from a caper bush, that is maaser midirabanan. And so you might have thought that when does Rav Paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Only in Chutz Laretz, when even in Eretz Yisrael, it's Derabanan. If in Eretz Yisrael, it's Derabanan, like Meiser on a caper bush, then what Rav would pass in like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz Laretz. However, if we're talking about something like Orla, which is Deoraita in Eretz Yisrael, then Rav wouldn't hold like Rabbi Akiva's lenient Shita. So he really couldn't mention Rabbi Akiva's name at all, because Rabbi Akiva says that by Meiser. So even though Rav holds the same principle exists, By Orla, if he said he passed him like Rabbi Akiva, you would assume, oh, he only passed him like Rabbi Akiva for Meiser, because it's Derabanan and even in Eretz Yisrael. But for Orla, which is Deoraita in Eretz Yisrael, he wouldn't pass him like Rabbi Akiva. Ravina, Eshkeche the Marba Ravashi, because Zarek, if you want to, the Kaachel Kafrisin. So Ravina saw the Marba Ravashi was throwing out the, if you know, the berries and eating the Kafrisin, the casings. Amarle, my dad, like Rabbi Akiva, the Megil, the Avid Marga Becham, the Mekil Tvei. Are you holding like Rabbi Akiva, who's Mekil, and because you're in Chutz Laretz, you're allowed to be Somech on his Shita? Well, if you're just going for the most makel shita, because you're in Chutz Laretz, you should hold like Beit Shammai. He's more makel than everyone. Ditznan, as we taught in the Mishnah, Tzelav Beit Shammai, Omrim, Kilayim Bekerim, Beit Hillel, Omrim, and Kilayim Bekerim. Beit Shammai says that the caper bush is a problem for Kilayim, and Beit Hillel says that the caper bush is not a problem for Kilayim. Why would it be a problem for Kilayim? Well, it's only a problem for Kilayim if it's a plant. Meaning trees are not a problem of Kilayim. If vines and plants are a problem of Kilayim. So the fact that Beit Shammai says it's a problem for Kilayim, that means he believes that it's a plant and not a tree. But Hillel says, no, it's not a problem of Kilayim because he believes it's a tree. Ve'elu ve'elu modim shechayav be'orla. They both believe that you're chayav for Orla. Hagufa kasha, but that's internally contradictory. Amar tzlaf bechame omrim kilayim bekerim alma min yereku. You said that the tzlaf is a problem of kilayim. So according to Beit Shammai, it's a yerek, right? It's a plant. The hadotani elu ve'elu modim shechayav be'orla. But then you thought that they both say that it's a problem for Orla alma min ilanhu, which means that Beit Shammai believes it's a type of tree, right? Because only trees are a problem of Orla, right? Plants are not a problem of Orla. Bushes aren't a problem of Orla. So does Beit Shammai believe it's a tree, or does he think it's a bush? Why does he pass in the chumer in both? Ha, lo kasha, it's not difficult. Beit Shammai spooky misfaka lehu. Because Beit Shammai is besafek, he doesn't know if it's a tree or a bush. Vavdi hacha lechumra, vacha lechumra. So he passes at the chumras of both sides. But there is one kula that comes from Beit Shammai, because he's not sure if this is a tree. If he's not sure that it's a tree, then it's a suffic orla, because it's only orla if it's a tree. He's not sure it's a tree, and therefore it's a suffic orla, and there's a kula that exists by suffic orla. Right? So basically, you have to be machmir on Orla if it's a suffik in Eretz Yisrael, because we pask in the Chumra by a Deoraita. However, if it's a suffik and it's Chutz La'aretz, then we would pask in Lakula. And so if you follow Beit Shammai's opinion, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, and Beit Shammai says suffik Orla, and suffik Orla in Chutz La'aretz is mutter, so why aren't you just eating the berries themselves? Rabbi Kiva of Makom Rabbi Lezer of Dinan Kavate. No, when you have a machloki between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbanan, I'm going to follow Rabbi Akiva as Mekel Shita. Beit Shammai, Makom Beit Hillel, and Amishana. Right? But you don't turn away from Beit Hillel Shita to pass him like Beit Shammai, even in Chutz La'aretz. Right? But Tipukle, the Nasa Shomer Lepri. Well, I have kind of an issue with what you said earlier, right? Because we said that because Rabbi Akiva doesn't define this as a food, for the sake of Meiser, therefore, it wouldn't be defined as a food for the sake of Orla. They're talking about the Kafrisin, the casings. So, if you don't have to bring Meiser on the casings, on the Kafrisin, that would mean that you'd be allowed to eat it in Orla. But how do you know that Meiser and Orla are the same thing? In fact, I'll prove to you that Meiser and Orla are not the same thing, and something would not be required in Meiser, but still would be obligated in Orla. How so? Rahmana Amar. The Torah said, Ve'orlatam Orlato, et Pirio. Et Atafel Pirio. Right? We darshan the word et. When the Torah says that you have to treat the fruits in the first 3 years as orla, you're not allowed to eat it. It doesn't just say pirio orla. It says et pirio, and there is a certain approach that that any unnecessary et, meaning anytime the Torah uses et, it comes to include something additional, something similar to the thing that's usser. So there's an additional thing that's usser. What is the additional thing that's usser? Well, something that is secondary to the fruit itself. And what is secondary to the fruit itself? My new shomer lepri, any guard around the pri, meaning a casing, the kafrisin, which is a guard around the berry, should be a shomer lepri. It is guarding the pri, and that should be usher because of the et which comes to include the casing of the pri. In which case, even though Rabbi Akiva says you don't have to take meiser on it, by orla, we have a specific riboy in the pasuk to include the casing of the pri. No, where do we say something constitutes a shomer lepri? Meaning, you're telling me just because you're telling me the Kafrisin is definitely a shomer lepri, and therefore it's usher. I'm telling you, why do you assume that Kafrisin is a shomer lepri? How do we define a shomer lepri? A shomer lepri is when it's going to be guarding the pri, when it's attached, and when it's not attached. Meaning, like an orange peel, right? It's going to be on there whether it's attached to the tree or not. But the Kafrisin is not attached to the berry when it's off the tree, so it doesn't constitute a shomer lepri. Etivay, we challenge that opinion. Etivay, Abaya challenges that opinion. Pit mashal rimon mitzarefet. Right, the crown of a pomegranate adds to the size of the pomegranate. What does it matter that it adds to the size of the pomegranate? Because in order for something to contract tuma, ritual impurity, it needs to be the size of an egg. It needs to be a kibetza. In which case, if a pomegranate is less than a kibetza without the crown, and is a kibetza with the crown, so you include the crown in calculating how big this thing is so that it can contract tuma. Right? So because the flower part of the rimon is not mitzaref to mekabel tuma, what does that mean? That the flower part of the rimon is not considered food. If it was considered food, we would add it together with the pomegranate itself to make it a big enough size to contract tuma. Okay, so now we know the flower isn't food. Okay, v'tnan, but we also taught in the Mishnah, gabe orla, klipe rimon v'anetz shelo, the peel of the pomegranate and the flower of it, the klipe gozim v'garin chayevim be'orla, and the peels of the pomegranate nuts and the seeds are chayev and orla, right? But we just said that the nates, the flower, is not food. And then we said afterward that even though it's not food, it's still chayev and orla. In which case, I have a serious problem because I see that something like the flour, which is not food, still is usher for orla. In which case, how can you compare? How can you use Rabbi Akiva's proof that anything that isn't food is therefore not orla? But here I see that the flour isn't food, and yet it is chayv and orla. So why can Rav use Rabbi Akiva's shita that the kafrisin isn't food to prove that you're allowed to eat it during orla? Because the flour isn't food, but you're not allowed to eat it during orla. Ella, okay, so now Rav needs a different answer, because you're like, yeah, that's a good point. I guess I can't. So Rav says, Rav is now going to redefine how we define a shomer lepri. Ella, I'm a Rav. Right? When do we say that something is considered the shomer for a pri? Shot gmar pir, right? When it's there at the shot gmar pri, right? When the fruit itself is fully ripe and the casing around it is still there, that's when we call it a shomer lepri. And because the casing, the kafrisin, is not around the berry when the berry itself is fully ripe, so it doesn't constitute a shomer lepri, and it's not going to be usher for orla. However, the flower of the pomegranate, which we used earlier to say that it was a problem, is still there when the pomegranate is fully ripe, and that's why the pomegranate is usher midin orla, but the casing of the kafrisin, the kafrisin is not usher midin orla. Eini? Is that really true? V'amar Rav Nachman, amar Rav Baravua. Hani mitachli de orla. These date coverings, right? The date coverings, which are these things in the early stages of the date that covers up the date itself of orla in the first 3 years. Asiri, they're aser. Hoil v'nasu shomer lepri, because v'nasu shomer lepri v'shomer lepri ematavi bekufra, when it's still young. So these date coverings are only there when the dates are still very small in their early stages of growth, and yet we still say they're a shomer lepri, and we say they're usher, but the date isn't fully ripe here. They got kari le shomer lepri. So even though it's still young, it's still called a shomer lepri, even though it has not fully grown. Rav Nachman sour like Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, but that's because Rav Nachman holds like Rabbi Yossi. Okay, it's not Rabbi Yossi Omer smadar asur b'nei shehu pri. Rabbi Yossi believes that the smadar, that the grape bud, like really the first part of the grape growth, is already usher mishum pri. So Rabbi Yossi believes that the grape bud is already a pri. And Rav Nachman holds like him. In which case, the reason why he holds that the casing around the date is usher is not because he doesn't believe that it can only be a shomer lepri once it's fully grown. He agrees that it's only a shomer lepri once the thing is called a pri. He just defines it as a pri much earlier than everyone else does. Rabbi Yossi calls it the very beginning, he calls it a pri. So for him, this constitutes a pri, and therefore the date covering, when it's in its earliest stages, is still a shomer lepri. But everyone else, like the Rabbanan, who argue on that shita, who believe that it needs to be fully grown to constitute a fruit, and therefore it can only be a fruit covering if it's there when it's fully grown, the kafrisin aren't there when when they're fully grown. Upligi Rabbanan Leah, the Rabbanan argue this shita. The Rabbanan believe it has to be a fully grown fruit, and therefore it's only going to be a cover for a fruit if it's there when it's fully grown. Matki Falar of Shimon Menardot. Rav Shimon Ada challenges that shita. Ubishari lanei mipligi rabbanan. Meaning, okay, you are right. The rabbanan argue with Rabbi Yossi in that exact case of a smadar or of a grape bud. But for your shita to work, Rava, the rabbanan always have to argue, right? Because you said the rabbanan must hold that they always believe that the fruit is not considered whole at the beginning of its growing stages, right? Because if the rabbanan definitely disagree with Rabbi Yossi when it comes to a smadar, a grape bud. But I don't think they disagree with Rabbi Yossi when it comes to all other fruit, in which case they define all other fruit as fruit from the moment they start to grow, in which case anything that's around them would be a guard for the fruit, in which case the kafrisin, which are around the berries, would have to be a guard for the fruit, and they'd be usher and orla. Okay, how do we know that the Rabbanan don't argue by Rabbi Yossi in any other case, only by a smadar? We learn from the following. Atnan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? At what point in the Shemitah year do you have to stop? Can you not cut down the branches of a tree? Right? Because if there are fruit on a tree, you can't cut down the branches because that destroys the fruit. You're not allowed to destroy fruit in the Shemitah year. Beit Shammai, Omrim Kol Ilana Mishyotze. Right? So Beit Shammai says the moment you start seeing fruit come out of those trees, the moment they start growing, you can't cut down the branches because they're already considered fruit for the sake of not cutting them down in Shemitah year. Beit Hillel, Omrim, Acharun Mishyisharshuru. Right? So, Beit Hillel says that the carob tree, when the carobs themselves start to make a chain, Vagfanim Mishyagiru, and the grapes, when they are in very, very early stages, the garua stage, Vazeti Mishyanatsu, so the olives, when they start to blossom, Vasharku Ilinaru Mishyotsu, and all other trees, the moment the fruit start to grow. That is Beit Shammai's sheet. That is Beit Hillel Shita. The Amar Rav Asi, and Rav Asi says about this, who boasted who garua? That which we said, the grapes, Mishyagiru, what we call garua grapes, we call boser grapes, right? So these are just, they're unripe grapes. They're not fully grown grapes, right? And the Gemara adds on to that, hupula lavan. By the way, that is the same thing, boser and garua is the same thing as pul halavan, this white bean. Pul halavan sagadaitach? Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Why would an unripe grape be called a white bean? Elayim ashira kapul halavan. No, the Gemara was just saying that's when it's the size of a white bean. Okay, so when the grape is the size of a white bean, it is called a boser and it is called a garua. Why do we need to know that information? Because of the following. Man shamat le da'amar boser in smadar lo. Whose opinion did you hear who says that boser constitutes a fruit? Such that you cannot cut down the trees when there is boser on the tree, on a Shemitah year. However, a smadar is not fruit. Meaning a boser is already considered a fruit, and the smadar, the earliest stage, of the grape, is not fruit. That's Rabbanan, right? That is the Rabbanan Shita. Meaning the Rabbanan who would say, that boser is considered a fruit and smadar is not considered a fruit, it must be their shita then that the second part of this Mishnah accords with. Meaning, we taught it in the name of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, right? But the Rabbanan agree that a boser constitutes a fruit, and a smadar does not constitute a fruit. That means that what we taught in the name of Beit Hillel, the Beit Midrash of Hillel, that accords with the Rabbanan's shita. Okay, we've now established that this accords with the Rabbanan's shita. Why does that matter? Vikatani, because we taught in the end of that Mishnah, Shar Kola Ilan and Mishietsu, that all other trees, the moment the fruit start coming out, you're not allowed to cut down the branches. Why is that significant? Because that means they're abundant hold by all other fruits that aren't grapes. The moment the fruits start forming, they are called fruit. In which case, if you have a casing around a fruit in the very early stages, right, then that constitutes a shomer lapri. So even though the kafrisin are there in the early stages of the berries, but not there in the end stages of the berries, that shouldn't matter because the Rabbanan believe that it's already considered a fruit in the early stages, so it's a fruit covering in the early stages for the kafrisin, and therefore kafrisin, which is fruit covering in the early stages, should be considered orla and usser. Ella, okay, so Rava now needs a different answer, because that was a pretty good rejection. Ella ama Rava, how are we going to define these fruit coverings? How are we going to define the Shomer Lepri? Rava says, Hecha Renedavi Shomer Lepri, Hecha Dechi Shakalta Le Lishomer Mait Pere. When you take off the Shomer, the fruit dies. That's what it means that it's a Shomer Lepri. But the Kafrisin, by the caper bush, if you take the Kafrisin off the berries, it doesn't die. Milo Maita Peri. Hava Uvda, and they tested this shita. Hava Uvda Vishaklua Linates, the Rimona. Right? They took the flour off the Rimon Vyavish and it died. And that is why the flour is usher for Orla. Because when you take it off of the Rimon dies. Vishaklua la pircha de bitita veikayim bitita. But then they took the casing off of the berry on the caper bush, and the caper bush stayed alive. In which case, if it stays alive without the kafrisin, then the kafrisin doesn't constitute a shomer lapri. And if it doesn't constitute a shomer lapri, then it's not included in this additional pasuk that's included by et when it comes to orla. So the kafrisin is not aser midin orla, and that which we learned from Rekiva's shita not to include it as food was proper.